Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. Lord, that you are holy. Lord, that you are powerful. Father, we thank you that you not only have incredible power, but love. And Lord, that you are willing to and wanting to get involved in our lives, to be intimately connected with us, Lord. That you showed that through your Son on the cross, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you cover our sins. Lord, we thank you that our salvation is not based on being good enough. But Lord, it's based on what you did for us in receiving it. So Lord, we're humbled by you. We're humbled before you. We ask that you would meet us now in your word. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the word of God. Lord, we pray that you would use your word to bring transformation to our lives. Lord, that because of the truth of your word being applied in love, we would be different. We would be different and we would see more of you and less of us. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Lord, thank you for being willing to use us to love people, to minister to people, to come alongside people, to encourage, to reach out to those who are just like us and in need and broken. So, Father, you are good and you are holy. And we are here at your word, at your feet. Bless us and make us a blessing to many. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, we're starting a new series today, and it's called One. One. All right. And the idea is, you know, so often we're surrounded by people. So often we see the masses and we see all that's before us. And the challenge is, where do we even get started? How do we connect with people? How do we get involved? And when I say the word evangelism, does anybody else kind of get a little bit of a bump in their throat and take a swallow? Evangelism. Yeah. That means I got to talk to people about God. Oh, man. And today, you know, I want us to kind of look at why the word evangelism has that kind of feel to people. I remember when I was young and I was in the church that I was growing up in, and one of the things that we were doing was we were preparing to go to evangelize. And I was a teenager and I was actually about 11. And I remember thinking, I don't know God. How am I supposed to talk to others about God? And so everybody was supposed to go out and talk to people about Jesus, to complete strangers. And I remember going out and hiding. I found a bush, got behind it, waited the allotted time, and I came back and smiled, and yeah, oh, wow, that was an incredible bush, you know. Right? As we talk about evangelism, sometimes it can be overwhelming, but I want us today to really look at, I honestly think it's disrespectful to people and dishonoring of people if we as a whole look at evangelism as a program. Evangelism is not a program. Evangelism is a way of life. It's how we live. It's sharing. It's caring for people. It's getting involved in people's lives. We look at the life of Jesus and we look at a man who gave us the greatest example of evangelizing, and he always connects with people. There is no person outside his scope, first of all, right? There's no person I'm not going to reach them. The children, he says, let the children come. The people try and stop. It's Jesus, a great teacher. No, let them come. to the people who were frowned at, to the leper. I tell you that one of my favorite stories is the story of the leper who Jesus doesn't just heal him, he touches the leper to heal him. He connects with the whole person. Guys, I want us to be thinking about not how do we do a program of reaching out, but how do we live our lives in a way that we are bringing the love of God in small ways, in real ways, in ways that serve and bless and build. We're looking at Matthew 28, and one of the things that we're looking at is really why should we share our faith? Why should we share our faith? As I want to hear from you, why should we share our faith with people? What's that? They would share, because it's important, we share things that are important. If they ask, absolutely. I would tell you, when you show kindness, when you get involved in people's lives, people will ask you questions, won't they? Why should we share our faith?
Because it's real.
Because my life's been changed. If you find something that has blessed you more than anything else in your life, Do you want to keep it yourself and hide it? Or everyone you love, everyone, you want to give it away. You want to share the joy and the passion. When you find something that brings blessing to you, you can't help but give that blessing away. The eternal consequences. It means something. It means something. And then one of the ones that I want to focus on today is because we were told to. Because it's an act of obedience. Because it honors God. When we get the privilege, guys, we have been called to be ambassadors. Let's take a look at it. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And I want you to have this picture. This is after the resurrection. This is at the very end, right? Some of the last things that Jesus says to the people. Now, if you're given your last, you know, you have presidents who give their last speeches. You've got leaders who give. Okay, guys, I want to remind you of the basics, of the important basics as a coach. Right, we got the football game today, right? You guys excited? Pray for the line. Pray for the line. All right. Guys, as a coach, what do? You've coached. And it's game day, and right before game, what are the back to the basics. And you remind the guys of what? Or you remind the girls or the guys, you remind them of what? What's most important? What's really valuable? To young kids, what do you often say? Have fun, right? Because as young kids, it changes a little bit as you get older. But you want to remind them. We should be saying have fun for a little bit longer, I think, personally, but that's me. All right, Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Of which nations? The nations that are doing the right things. Of all nations. So we're to go out and we're to bring the light of God to all people. There is no prejudice. There is no room for prejudice. There is no room for saying, well, I'm going to keep. And guys, not just of people groups, but of, here's where it's harder, of individuals. There's no prejudice. For the jerk, for the guy who's been mean to you since you've known him, for that woman who said that thing to your friend that you found out because she didn't know she was your friend. You You see, things happen in real life, don't they? Real life is messy. It's clumsy. It's difficult. It's painful. And it's so easy to take offense. And in our offense, we tend to start judging. And now this person, in our twisted understanding, we can now start associating this person with these people. Right? Do you see how prejudice builds and bloats and festers and infects? Because now my experience with this person is my understanding of these people. And that's sin, that's evil. When we are judging, guys, we got to be so careful. It's so easy to judge. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's something in the church that we don't like to mention because we're not supposed to say it, but I'm going to say it. Evangelism is difficult at times. It is. Because there's a cost. There's a cost. You're putting, because it's so valuable to you, and it's made such a difference in your life, and you love many of the people, and you know the person that you're sharing with, there's a cost to giving that away. There's the fear of rejection. There's the fear of being mocked. There's the fear of being put in that category, right? Oh, you're one of them. And in a culture that's getting more and more and more and more away from God, more and more away from the Word of God, if you bring up God in public, you're going to have a high percentage of people. I mean, in the Northwest, we're famous for not being having any religious affiliation, not having any understanding of something greater than ourselves. We live in a world that spirituality is good. Spiritual stuff is fun to talk about. But a God, a creator, someone we have to answer to, somebody who's in charge besides me, we don't like that. And it's easy. Guys, here's another challenge with evangelism. It's not only difficult because sometimes we're judged. It's difficult because sometimes, quite honestly, Christians are obnoxious about it. Sometimes Christians are look down their noses and come across as better than. I can't tell you. Have you guys been there where in a coffee shop or out in the community or somewhere where as you're listening, overhearing a conversation, you're hearing somebody share the gospel and you're thinking, the truth in love, not just being a jerk. Because it's given in a way that is just higher than might. It's rude. And it's talking down to. Evangelism is difficult. So I guess the question comes to then if it's obedience, because what does he say here? He says, all authority. So he's got all authority. And he's saying, now go and bring God's love to the people. And it's a command. Do it. So the question is, how do we do it? How do we bring the love in a way that honors God, doesn't put the focus on the messenger, but on the one that we're giving the message about? How evangelism is taught in many places is really hard to live out year after year. If evangelism is a program, guys, how often are we going to be hiding behind bushes? If it's a program and it's about numbers and it's about doing the right thing and it's about saying the right thing, and Honestly, guys, that's broken. It's empty. That's a religious mindset apart from the loving truth of faith. Because of faith, because of my personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I get the joy of living my life for Him. And evangelism is an extension of me being who I am in Christ. So rather than a program that we do, and here's, you know, is there anything wrong with a program? No. Let me make that clear. There's nothing wrong with programs, but they're limited. Programs that are focused on helping people do things, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the program should be set up to what? To lead us into real life, not to be about the program. So it's about the love of God, not about, look at the nice things we're doing for our program. Aren't we wonderful people? Do you see the difference? And when evangelism is just thought of as only a program, and here's the four spiritual laws, and you give a track, and this is what you do. Guys, it's so much more than that. It's about loving people right where they're at. It's about, this is where we get to be trained and equipped to go out and love people and connect with them. And that means we have to be with them. And if we're only with each other, we're missing it. I want to encourage you, get involved in activities where you're with people who aren't in the church. Get involved where you can serve people, where you can get involved, where you can find out about those. At work is a great place to just love people right where they're at. I'm going to share with you one of the greatest evangelism tools ever known to man, and it is this. How are you doing? And then listening. Not, oh good, and not waiting to talk because they're saying something. They're saying something and I just need, and now I'm going to share. How are you? And then hearing how they're doing. And asking as though it's real, because it is, from your heart. Caring about people enough to, in everyday life, get involved. Are you willing to get involved? There's a cost to getting involved. One of the stories I was... I hadn't planned on sharing this, but one of the stories I shared with Gerb was I was down at the grocery store, and as I was there, there was a young man, and he was being very abusive to the young lady that was with him. And she was crying, and he was yelling, and he was pushing, and he was being physically aggressive with her. And so I went up to him and I said, "Sir, you can't treat her like that. You can't do that. You can't do that." And he said, "Excuse me?" And he pulls his sweatshirt like this. He's got a gun right there. I'm not sure if I share this with you guys, but reach for the gun. Because when your life is on the line, you tend to react. And I don't know if it was the best idea. But I reached for the gun and I got to it first. And my hand's on his gun and I'm looking at him and he's looking at me, and the gun's pointing down and I'm thinking I'm in a better position than him. And I say to him, "Now, which one of the two of us is in the better position?" And I say, "Listen, I don't want any trouble." I said, "I'm a pastor down the street." I still got my hand on him like this. "I don't want any trouble. I've got my hand on a gun, but I don't want any trouble. I don't want any trouble. I'm a pastor down the street." But you know what? And then as I was just kind of in my head praying. You ever been there where you're just praying, "God, give me something here." And I'm praying, and all of a sudden I feel led to say, if your mother was being treated this way, would you want me to step in?" And he took his hand off my hand, and his hands went down and his face went down, and he said, "I'm sorry, Pastor." I said, listen. And then we talked and we shared and we talked for a while and found out that she was okay, made sure she, do you need some help? Do you, no, it's okay. You know that you can't be treated. You're valuable and you're valuable to God and you cannot be treated this way. Sir, you can't treat another person like that. And you know it in your heart. You know it. I got to share with him. I got to share a little bit of God's love. Got to invite him into church. Guess what? They didn't come. But I'm still praying for him, and the time isn't over. Still praying for him. Evangelism, relationship, being involved in people's lives. And there is a cost. There is a cost. And the cost could be great. But guys, if God's word is true, if Jesus is who he says he is, if it really does matter, then if there's a great cost, it's worth it. If it's really truth, then it matters. And guys, I want to say one more thing about this. In the relational aspect of evangelism is we don't stop loving. We don't stop praying for. We don't stop getting involved. We've got to be willing to love people. You guys know I'm still praying for my dad. I love that man. I keep praying. It's been a lot of years. I've been praying since before I was saved. I was saved at 14. I just had my 30th high school reunion. I've been praying a while. As we can't, let me say this. As we look at salvation belongs to God. It's not our role to save. We don't get to save anybody. I've never argued anyone into heaven. I've never argued anyone into an understanding of God. Now, I have argued people away from God, I'm embarrassed to say. I have had times where I got my point out and I was right and I stepped all over them. And I won the argument. Yeah! And now their view of God is that much more messed up because of me. We can water, we can weed. We can get involved. Guys, we aren't responsible for salvation. That's God's place. And with that understanding, there's a peace that we can have of loving people, of sharing, of hearing them. You know, another great way to bring the love of God to people is to hear their story, to care for them. And don't just hear theirs to share your... Find out about the people that are in your life. Be the kind of person that when you walk away, they're like, that person actually cared what I had to say. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you knew at the end of the conversation they didn't hear a word you said? It's like they were somewhere else. They had a lot to say and they had no ears. So here's three ideas, three possible practices. Rather than a program, three possible practices. And as we do this, so many people go through life feeling that nobody cares for them, that nobody's connecting with them. Guys, we've got a world of people near and far away from us who are hurting, who are broken, who are discouraged. I'll tell you, one of the things that made me so glad at the reunion that there was this one young lady who hadn't come to faith in high school, just a really wonderful person, a quality young lady. And as I was talking with her at the union, not only had she come to faith, but she was a pastor's wife. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And man, it was amazing. It was amazing to see how God had blessed her. And as she shared, the sister of one of my friends had just cared for her, prayed with her, talked with her about God. It's what made the difference. It's what brought her to a place of being broken and feeling unaccepted to knowing God and being made whole. So, three possible practices. Choose a person you have regular contact with. Choose somebody. I want us to be intentional about loving people. You know what? I'm better at doing things if I'm intentional about doing them. If it's important to me, I'll make it a priority. And so here's an idea. Here's one idea. Somebody that you have regular contact with at work, a family member, find a way to serve them. Find a way to love them. Find a way to hear their heart. Find a way to get involved in their life, like a way to connect. And don't just do it as a chore, as a thing to do. Let it come from who you are. Don't just say, how are you? Listen. And don't just tell your story. Hear their story. Hear their heart. Love them with the love of God. Another possibility is, guys, I'd encourage you to use this one with all of them, but in the moment, sometimes you're out in community, at work, wherever, and there's a moment given where you can feel something's unique here, something. Pray. Say a quick, quiet prayer. Now, don't go on your knee and say it out loud in front of them, but just quietly in your heart. Quietly in your heart, pray for them. Pray that the love of God would be seen in you. Pray that it would be less about me, more about God's love in them. Guys, one of the things that I have experienced over and over, when I'm intentional and when I'm praying for people, God gives me more opportunities and I see them. I see them. And so when I'm praying for people, then the opportunities come and I just get to love. I just get to share the truth in love. If you're intentional, God's going to show you. He's going to answer your prayers. If you're praying, God, I love this person. I love my father. I want to connect with him. Give me an opportunity to share your love with him in word or in deed. The third one is go where people are. So, what are we saying about the church? Get out of the church and go into community. Don't have everything you do be a part of this family. In this family, we love. I mean, how blessed are we? How blessed are we? So let's give that blessing away. Let's go into community. Let's find ways where we can use what God has given us, the gifts, our time, our treasure, our talents, and we can bless other people where we can get involved in their lives. The last scripture, and you know what? We're not going to have time for this, so we'll save this for next week. Guys, if you look over here on the board, there's a one and one. I want us to be thinking about how do we love? And there's a common practice of putting a name on a card, and you're going to put that card on the board until that person comes to faith. I don't want us to be thinking in the program way. I want us to be thinking, you know what? I want you to, if at any time in the next month, as we're going through the series, during the worship, during the time of the message, if there's anything that anyone that God's putting on your heart to reach out in love, to maybe it's the person at the gas station. Maybe instead of filling up at the gas station outside at the thing, maybe you just go in and say hello. Start up a conversation. Maybe it's a person at work and you just ask how they're doing. But be praying. Don't put their name, but anytime, just put their initials of people that you're praying for, people that you're longing to love. You're longing for them to, God's put it on your heart for them to know God's love. And be intentional. And anytime over the next month, just put their initials. You know what that means. It's not for us. It's just a way for us to say, and the goal here is to stay away from the program and have it just not be about what we do, but it's how can I be intentional how I live my life? So if there's somebody, and please, if the person is sitting right next to you, don't write out their name fully, right? But here's an idea. Love on them. Share with them. Share about the love of Jesus Christ. Share about what Jesus has done in your life. We'll save that for next week. All right. Guys, be intentional. Be intentional. I want to end with this. Verse 19, therefore go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Guys, here's one thing I want to be clear. Evangelism is not just about making a decision of faith for Jesus and ending there. It's not, hey, we got them to the kingdom, now they're leave them to themselves. It's sharing life. It's what? It's and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Have you learned everything from someone in one sitting? What is implied in this? Time. Patience. A whole lot of patience. Any parents here? Need I say more? How much patience do we have to have? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Guess what? God has to have that kind of patience with us, doesn't he? As our Heavenly Father. But guys, it's not about getting somebody to say a prayer. It's about coming into life with people and bringing them in and sharing. How many of the people in this room have had people... So many of you have shared with me, I came because of him, I came because of her, she invited me, he invited me. And God used that to bring blessing in. And now we're sharing life. Now's the heavy lifting. Because faith doesn't mean that all the problems go away. It means we have a God who walks with us through all the challenges and problems and pains of life. And he meets us right where we need to be met. And praise God for it, because I need it. Because life's hard. And making good choices is not always easy. Guys, let's be willing to not just try and get people to say a prayer, do a little fire insurance. Let's get involved in people's lives. Let's share. Let's care enough to love right where they're at. Because they're valuable. And it means something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. You are so, so kind, so good, so powerful, so involved. Lord, we thank you that you know us and you still love us. That you know our weaknesses, you know our faults, Lord. May we have your eyes for the people around us. May we have your grace and patience and long-suffering for the people around us. Show us how to love well. Father, we need you. We need you in our lives. We need you to work through us. Lord, thank you that we don't have to give from our own well. That we're not just giving what we've got. We're giving you. We're sharing you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation. Who knows us and loves us and meets us right where we're at, Lord. Thank you for your willingness to show what love is. To die on the cross to take our place. To pay for the sin that had to be dealt with. Thank you, Lord. We love you back. Make us a blessing to many in small, everyday ways, day after day, week after week, year after year. Lord, we pray for this community. We pray for lives that are broken to be made whole. We pray for families that are estranged to be brought back together. We pray for unforgiveness to be replaced by love and forgiveness and right relationship. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.